short, but I believe God's here, and He's here with a special reason, a special purpose. There's not a service you don't come to that God is not here for a reason. And the reason is for every individual in the house. And I want to talk to us this morning. I honor your pastor again, his family, and this church, all you visitors. Thank you for being here. Keep that friend of mine, Andrea, in your prayers. She's starting to wrestle a little bit, but she's wanting to be here. And I'm believing that God's going to fill her with the Holy Ghost when she gets here. Amen. Amen. Book of John chapter 1. Correction, the epistle, John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. My, what a lesson we heard today. There was some rich nuggets in that thing. Took me back to Bible college. And if you wasn't here, I hope they recorded it. You need to get it and listen to that teaching. Teaching's what's going to root and ground us. It's the anchor that Jesus is in our soul. Amen, amen. Good pastoring. 1 John chapter 1. And I want to start verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Everyone say faithful and just. To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will confess, if we will repent, God is faithful and just. He will not disappoint us. He will not turn a deaf ear to a prayer of repentance. But He will forgive us. I don't care how far you've gone away. I don't care what we have done. We serve a God whose arm is not short that it cannot reach, neither His ear deaf that it cannot hear. But the next scripture says, but thy iniquities has hid His face from us in Isaiah. I want someone to know today, I want to preach to us for a little while today, that He is the God of new beginnings. He is the God of new beginnings. Pastor, would you lead us in prayer?
Jesus, we thank You this morning because Your presence is in this place and we have the privilege to stand before the very throne of God. We thank You because You're here beautifully and You're here bountifully and You want to bless us here. Through Your Word, open our hearts, open our ears, give us understanding, give us courage and give us faith to respond as You will to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everyone say in Jesus' name. Look to someone next to you before you sit and tell them He's got your new beginning. You can start over. You may be seated. A God of new beginnings. In the prayer room this morning, God was really working on my heart, working on my soul. And I was saying, God, I know there's a lot of hype in evangelists. And I know that sometimes we prejudge the success of a revival by how many is shouted. But oh God, to me, the success of the moving of the Spirit of God is really not all in all on how loud you shout, but how effectively you pray. There is, I remember hearing Elder Brother Young preach a few years ago at No Limits in California. He preached, there is a voice that God will hear. We had people running all over the church before and all over the church after. They literally ripped up the greenery around. It was palm branches waving them. They carried Brother Wilson and all of them on their shoulders. And just, I mean, kids running and shouting and speaking in tongues. They literally came up over the pulpit and was running through the choir lofts. But there was never a message in that service, in that session, in that conference that stirred a heart more than hearing the message of repentance. And there is a voice that God will hear. And I want someone to know today that your prayers have not been in vain. Neither has your ability or your efforts to be here today in vain. But Jehovah has walked in this building, and He is here, and He is knocking on the door of your heart, and He's telling you, I know you've made mistakes, and I know you have shortcomings, but if you will repent, I am ready to forgive. Yes. And not only forgive you, but cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Yeah. Woo! Come on now. Yeah. I have wrestled through the night, and I wrestled through the night, and I said, God, I really want to see what you want to do and your desire in this congregation. And I have felt darts of the adversary and embattlements of the spirit and weariness of the soul. But I've got news for everyone in this building. If you will be faithful in your worship and faithful in your prayer, you have not come to a closed chapter in God's working of your life. But God is ready to open up and turn the page and say, I'm not through writing what I want to write in your life. Woo! He is a God of new beginnings. As a child, I can remember my mama kneeling beside me and teaching me how to pray. As a child in my childhood, I remember going to Sunday school and sitting by my grandpa, hearing him sing bass and looking down at me. I can remember the joys of Sunday school. I can remember my mama reading me Bible stories. And I can remember asking questions after it and making sure that I comprehend the purpose of the story. I can remember slipping around, Brother Grissom, and I was raised in another church, in a Baptist church. And I can remember still, though, as a young child, being stirred around Easter and being stirred around certain special services and sneaking off into the back room of the house and pulling a filing cabinet up and opening my Bible and acting like a fiery preacher, one that just doesn't speak the word, but one that believes the word and feels the word, didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. I can remember there's a desire that was in my heart and was in my soul to want to live for God, but not in a traditional fashion. And then a chapter in my life came as a teenager. I can remember having my choice whether to go to church or not, and going ever so often. I can remember not frequenting the house of God. I can remember never really, though, through all of this teenage years, never really losing a desire to want to go to church. In fact, as I become an upper teen, I tell people I was a CME Christian. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. It was about the only time I showed up. But even in them days, something inside me would stir and say, I love you, and I want to use you. I want you to be a part of my body. Still not knowing the beautiful privilege of the apostolic message. I can remember soon began to drifting away from principles that was given to me and beginning to drink alcohol in my life. I can remember getting drunk and going to parties and trying to make a fit-in status, a blend-in status with everybody that says, it's okay if you go to church on Sunday. You can get drunk on Friday and drunk on Saturday and then go to church on Sunday. You're still fine. I can remember that. And soon I began to blend in with this traditional denominational thinking. Because once saved, always saved. Biggest lie that ever been spoken next to the doctrine of the Trinity. I'm telling you, there is a message in this building that does not come by the heart of man. It comes through the heart of God. And it's not trying to get your membership on the roll. And I know your pastor, he's not trying just to get your tithe in the offering plate. He's trying to get your heart in reconciliation with God. We need a passion in the pulpit again that tells people hell was never built for you. But God, Jesus, manifested in the flesh, said, I do go to prepare a place for you. Woo!
Amen. Come on now. That's good.
I don't want to meddle. I can remember the drifting. The drifting and the openness. You see, when you close the door on God, when you close the door of frequenting the house of God, you open the door of the rooms of sin and the pleasure of this world. And before long, you have innocently been deceived and innocently so-called wrapped up in things that you never dreamed you would be involved in. The wickedness of Hollywood and television has literally desensitized the young people. It has desensitized our spirit. It has desensitized our soul that we don't have a problem with adultery, and we don't have a problem with murder, and we don't have a problem with people living unholy. The book of Romans chapter 1 says if you take pleasure in them things, knowing the judgments, you are involved in it. And God is in this place. And he is reaching to someone. And why he's wanting me to tell a little of my testimony, I don't know. But I'm gonna keep going. Alcohol, but yet the desire was there. Drugs, cocaine, meth, crack, pills, everything you can imagine was there. But yet still somewhere there was an inside in me. There was somewhere that God had put something in me that says, never give up on me because I'll never give up on you. Me and a friend of mine went to, three of us, going to get tattoos. They got their tattoo and I backed out. I chickened out. I'll admit, I laid an egg. But on the way back, my best friend said, why did you do that? And I said, Jerry Sam, something kept speaking to me, telling me, doesn't the Bible say something about that? Marking up the body. And he slammed on his brakes and he pointed his finger to heaven and said, why should I ever do anything for that? And cussed. He's never done nothing for me. Chills went all over me. I said, don't talk like that, Jerry. Don't talk like that. Don't do that. And he said, I mean it. Several years after, I preached this. So several years after I got the Holy Ghost and began to walk in and move in the realm of the Spirit, and God called me to preach, I preached his funeral. Little did I know, 1 week before he was murdered by his father-in-law, Jerry Sam had told his mama, when I get back from the deer camp, I'm going to go down there with Gary's at, because something's happened to you. You see, Jerry Sam was there with me when we started the cocaine and when we smoked the crack. He was there with me when immorality took control. He was there with me when we thieved and we lied and we cheated and we stole. He was there with me when I OD'd on over-the-counter drugs. He was there with me when the doctors were saying, we're going to lose this one. He was there with me when I felt the cold chill of death start at my feet and start moving up and the EKGs running wild. He was there with me when I screamed at the doctors, tell them you're not pumping my stomach out. Leave me alone and I'll die and go to hell before I let you do this. He was there with me in the seances. He was there with me in the cemeteries. He was there with me with the Ouija boards. He was there with me with the candles. He was there with me. But you know something? He was the only one that stayed with me after I got the Holy Ghost. He was there with me when the devil says, I'm fixing to take you out. And as I convulsed in the ground and I clawed in that dirt, dry heaving and throwing up, he was there with me. And God telling me the whole time, I still got to work for you. Not knowing anything. Not knowing anything. Oh, I wish you'd have been there the night I got the Holy Ghost. I wish you'd have been there the night I got saved. I wish you'd have been there the night that the demons of our filthy mouth, all of that was pushed away because mercy. I wish you'd have been there to see what it means to have a new beginning. Someone here today, you may not be in meth, and you may not be in crack and heavy metal and seances, and you may not be in alcohol. You might hold a pretty good life. But if you've not repented of your sins to Jesus Christ, you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you have not been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance, then you'll dwell in eternity with every one of them that have. You'll dwell with the Hitlers, and you'll dwell with the Mussolinis, and you'll dwell with the Saddam Husseins, and you'll dwell with the rapists, and you'll dwell for eternity with all these types of people. But God is calling everyone in this building to come out from among them and be ye separate. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to dwell with them. You can dwell with me, and you can dwell with Paul, and you can dwell with Peter, and you can dwell with Isaiah, and you can dwell with Abraham, and you can dwell with Isaac, and you can dwell with the angels, and you can dwell in my light, you can dwell in my glory. But honey, that's the beauty of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to get to heaven to experience all of it. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance.
Yes.
I was at the point at one time living for God where I backslid. Lord, I got to hurry. Where I backslid. Backslider, God's got a new beginning for you. God's got a new beginning. I was in law enforcement, backslid, but God never left me. Alcohol, abusive, anger, all of these things, God never left me. I was in financial destruction and regrets and self-judgments piling mile high over my head, and God was still after me. And there was times, Brother Grissom, that I literally buried my face in the pillow one night, and I cried with my heart and I cried with my soul, and I screamed, God, shut up and never talk to me again. Would you leave me alone? But mercy said, I can't. I've already got something invested in you, and I believe in you. And son, you're going to do great things for me. And someone here today, I'm telling you, you're backslid, but mercy hasn't given up on you. God has not given up on you. Don't you give up on Him. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Come on, in Jesus' name. You know God's talking to you this morning. And I do wish we were shouting up the ceiling and dancing on the pews. But honey, you want to get this church rocking? Then get your soul revived. Find a place of repentance and let that load that Brother Grissom said be removed from you, and get that heart light again, and get that voice powered again, and get your soul empowered again. Get the blood of Calvary rolling again. Get the anointing of Jesus destroying the yokes again, and you can shout with more authority than you've ever shouted in your life. If my people, which are called by my name, if my people, which are called by my name, now I got to face this. Book of Second. Get me, if you can, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 12. Reveal Himself. in a powerful move to your heart, to your faith, to your life. You don't have to walk around addicted. You don't have to walk around oppressed. You don't have to leave this place backslid. You don't have to leave this place with a record that's against you, that the devil's using as evidence against you. You can remove, you can let the power of the blood flow through your soul, your mind, and the next time the devil accuses you, you can have him hear from God, "I see no evidence as to what you're talking." God says, "I got a beginning, a new beginning for you, son. I got a new beginning for you, man. But you're going to have to walk through the altar and go through the water. And then I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. When you go into the tabernacle, the temple, you got the brazen laver. You got the brazen altar before you could ever reach the holy area of God. But I'm telling you, just as God reached down and saved my soul, He is ready, willing, and able. Not in how you sign a card to this day. It's not in how you sign a card. It's not in how you shake the preacher's hand. Your new beginning in life, sir. There's a gentleman in here, I can put my finger on his head. There's been some tremendous promises He's spoken to you about. And somewhere, somehow, and for some reason that will not amount to any value when you stand before the judgment throne seat of Christ, it's going to be worth what you're giving up. You're worried about failure. You're worried about messing up again. But God's not worried about you messing up again in the future. He's worried about your mess right now. Abraham was an adulterer. But yet he was the father of many. Jacob was a deceiver. But yet because he made it right at Bethel, he became Israel. David was not only an adulterer, but he was a murderer. A man of war. A man with a hot temper. But yet because of his ability and desire to repent, he was a God after man. He was a man after God's own heart. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Yet he was given the keys. And he was given the authority to preach the first message ever preached after the upper room. Thousands cried, "Crucify him." Thousands received the message after Peter preached it and were baptized, added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why? Because he's not waiting for you to qualify yourself. He wants to qualify you himself. I wonder today, and I know we're pressed for time and lunch and all going on, but I wonder today, is there anybody here that would like to make the way to an altar? Is there anybody here that's would like to taste of the honey of the Master's table today. Is there anybody here that just wants to do a check in their life and say, God, I just want to make sure everything's okay with me? Is there a backslider here? You need to be restored. God loves restored people. Is there anybody here? You might have been baptized in the titles, but that's disobedience to Matthew 28:19. He said, baptized in the name, singular, one name, of the Father. Jesus said, Father, I have manifested, revealed, made known, displayed thy name, your name. The name of the Son, which is Jesus. The Holy Ghost, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. Comfortless in the Greek is orphanos. It's where we get our English word orphan. Jesus said, I don't want you to be an orphan. I want to be your parent. And to as many gave he the power to become the sons of God. I wonder today if we want an apostolic outpouring in our families, our life, and our prayer. Could we find a place of prayer and repentance? If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, there's nothing more pleasing to God, nothing more great in your life besides receiving the Holy Ghost than saying, brother, pastor, baptize me. Because when you're baptized into Jesus, according to Galatians, you're buried in Him. According to Romans 6, you're buried into Him by baptism. Yes. Galatians, you're putting on Christ. Yes. The Holy Ghost is Christ coming in you. So now you're in Him and He's in you and you're one with God. Is there anybody here that says, God, I don't want nothing between me and you? So let's all gather up front. If you can't kneel in an altar, sit at a pew. But don't waste your opportunity. For it pleaseth the Father to give unto you the kingdom. You want God pleased in your life? Come and pray. You want God to be pleased with you? Come and repent. Get rid of the things, the weights and sin that so easily beset us. Get rid of those things that you have no right to carry around. Silence the addictions and silence the regrets and silence the past by letting God clear from all unrighteousness, and God cleansing you from all sin, forgiving and cleansing, and let the power of God create in you a new beginning in your life today. I'm not talking about accepting Him. I'm talking about doing what you have to be accepted of Him. For Romans says that this is your reasonable service. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. For this is your reasonable service. It is unreasonable to God for you not to pray today. It is not reasonable in God's mind for us to leave with sin in our life and guilt in our minds. But what's reasonable is to leave this place forgiven, clean, and holy before God. Reach over and lay your hand on someone next to you and pray with us.